Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Country Squire
Radio. Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good morning, dude.
Man, good morning. How you doing this morning?
I'm great. It's a kind of chilly day this spring, and man, we got a good show coming up.
Yes, sir. We're going to have a great interview for you guys in just a minute. First, want to let you know about some things going on in the world that we live in, you know, the pipe world.
Yeah, that's right.
Big major event coming up. I'm talking about the Chicagoland International Pipe and Tobacco Show, and This is you know, if you've been around in this world for a while, you're familiar with Chicagoland and what they've done with that pipe show. And hopefully a lot of you guys are going. I know it starts April 29th, and so it's right around the corner here. It ends May 4th. That Thursday, they actually have this free-to-attend cigar show. And the actual pipe show itself actually opens up. It'll be available on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've seen in the past some people sending in pictures of themselves from the Chicago show floor. Guys, take some pictures while you're there. Send them in. We'd love to share them out.
Absolutely.
And that kind of goes for any of these pipe shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would love to be at every single one. And I mean, I know that you guys have stated before, you'd love for us to be at every single one, but we don't pull that kind of cash yet.
Yeah, no, not yet. But man, if you just happen to be taking a picture with your Country Squire Radio t-shirt, be sure to forward that on too.
Absolutely. So check that out. What we have for you right now, we're about to open up this interview. We've got Jonathan from the Moonshine Pipe Company. Got a great talk with him, talked about his pipes, his craft, some of his influences, how he got started. Really, really interesting dude.
Really interesting guy. And he is, you know, obviously a exciting, relatively newcomer on the scene that has kind of exploded and has experimented with some new different kind of twists on some standard shapes. And so looking forward to talking to him.
Yeah, yes, indeed. So enjoy this chat with Jonathan of Moonshine Pipes. We've got a very special guest on the line with us right now.
Yeah.
Very excited to introduce to you. We got Jonathan Lavezzo. Did I butcher it or did I say it right?
You got it. Lavezzo.
Yes. Perfect. There we go.
That's not the Italian spelling.
No.
The pronunciation. That is the butchered Mississippi version.
That's right. Well, that's how we do it here. That's how we do it here on the show. But of course, Jonathan is the owner and craftsman over at Moonshine Pipe Company. Man, you know, anytime that we get a pipe carver on the show, it's a special occasion. So, man, we're very excited to have you on the show today.
I'm glad to be here, man.
What are you smoking there?
I am actually the pipe or the blend?
Both.
Okay, so the pipe it actually comes from a good friend, Tony Warner, Warner Pipes. He's been making pipes for a couple of years now. He had a pipe that he was gonna kind of consider a shop pipe for himself. I really liked it. It's a small little billiard, and he went ahead and finished it out for me as a gift, put a really cool stem on it. So, yeah, I got this in the mail yesterday. Smokes awesome.
That's great.
The blend I'm smoking, blend is actually Old Dark Fired, and this morning I actually put a little bit of like a chocolate Cavendish in it just to kind of smooth it out for the morning with my coffee. It seems to be seems to be a good balance between the two, especially with coffee in the morning. So
that's good, man. A little bit of cocoa in the morning never hurt anybody.
I like it.
So tell us, how did you first kind of get into pipe smoking?
I've always had a pipe around. Actually smoked my first corncob pipe with good old Captain Black,
The Captain
Royal back when I was in high school. We were on a beach trip and we all got corncob pipes kind of as a, sadly, then it was as a joke, not so much a joke, but we all just kind of went into a cigar shop and we all walked out with corncob pipes. And, after that, all through college, I always had a pipe around. And I always thought it, cool because it's, usable art, as you can say, especially when you get into the hand carved stuff.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But I always had a pipe around and always been a, borderline pipe smoker until a couple years ago when I really got into it. Actually, it's been about 5 years now or so that I've actually been able to keep a cellar and so on and so forth, trying different blends besides the drugstore stuff.
So I love this. So what you're telling me is that your first pipe you actually bought as a joke. This is a pipe carver now. And it was a corn. And on top of that, it was a corncob pipe.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Missouri Meerschaum. Actually, I don't even think it was a Missouri Meerschaum. I think it was one of the knockoffs.
That's great.
We all got to start somewhere, though.
You got to start somewhere. I'm glad you didn't set your house on fire with it, though. That's a plus. Well, tell us kind of how did you, at what point did you transition towards pipe carving?
What's funny? Yeah, that's a funny story. I hope you got a few minutes.
We got a little time because we're very interested. Yeah, I know this is a thing for you.
Yeah. I ran my own construction company for the last 13 years, mostly high-end woodworking. I was in a bad motorcycle accident. It's going to be 3 years come May. Crazy story. Actually, if you just Google my name, it should pop up. Like I said, this is a long story. Anyway, it may sound depressing at first, but it all turned out good. But yeah, I was running a construction company, high end carpenter company. Actually built a motorcycle myself. I was out riding about 3 weeks after I finished it, and someone ran me over, stuck underneath the car. Pretty crazy what happened. Anyway, I got a lot of stuff going on to where I'm not able to, carry wood and, do all that kind of stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. So I kept it going for about a year or so after that. And then we actually have a neighborhood bar here down the road, and they have until it shut down, unfortunately. But they had a pipe night. It's called the Distinguished Gentleman's Pipe Night.
Nice.
And we'd all get around and smoke our pipes and try different whiskeys, scotches, so on and so forth, pair them up, kind of like what you guys did two episodes ago.
Yeah.
And met a actually local pipe maker, John Hines Pipes. He's based out of here in Charlottesville. And I ended up buying a couple pipes from him, and he invited me to a shop one night, and I thought, hey, why not? So one night going over there and carving around and stuff turned into pretty much a weekly event where I'd go over there and beg him for his time and shop time. The guy probably didn't get anything done for probably months because I'd always be in there playing around, asking questions, so on and so forth. So I made like probably my first five or six pipes in there in his workshop, which is actually just down the road from me. And at that point, I knew I was hooked, absolutely hooked. So I have a little storage building on my property. It's about 8x10 size. And I decided to go ahead and I went up to Harbor Freight. Didn't have a whole lot of money. Went up to Harbor Freight and bought the cheapest tools possible so I could figure out how to, that I could get to make pipes.
What do they call it? So, Harbor Freight is like the poor man's Home Depot or something? Is that the...
Yeah, if you go to Harbor Freight, it's pretty much all Chinese knockoffs right. of tools for about half the price. So went ahead and converted a little 8x10 sword shed into a, just pretty much bare minimum of what I could use to make pipes. Started putting some of my pipes out there after I made about 20 or 30 pipes, gave them away to friends, started posting pictures and just asking for, minimum amounts, saying, hey, try this out, see if you like it. gave away probably 30 or 40 pipes in the first 6 months of making pipes, just because I wanted to get them in people's hands and see what they thought.
Yeah.
And it turned out that a lot of people really liked them, even my first stuff. So that was really a real nice boost in confidence, which really got me to a point where I was like, hey, you know, this could be something real here. It really just took off from there. A lot of people, liked what I was doing, marketing to mostly blue collar people. I looked at the industry when I first started making pipes, and I saw, there's a huge industry for, flowable, pretty much flooded market for high end artisan pipes, but not so much something, middle of the road where, someone has a choice between a, say basket pipe, $30-$40 basket pipe versus mm-hmm. $300-$400 high end artisan pipe. Mm-hmm. So I thought, hey, why not try to fill that gap?
That's a good catch.
That's
right
more
there.
Of my personality. That's my personality. That's the way I've been. I've always been a kind of rough around the edges. And those are the people that I get along with. The guys who, work 40, 50 hours a week, don't have a lot of money. At the end of the day, it's all about making things you love for the people that you love. And, if you're working with the people that you really can relate to, I think that really makes the job a whole lot more satisfying and fun. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you mentioned the people that you work through. I mean, you've been doing this, you said, for about 3 years. Is that right?
Yeah, two to three
years.
I'm on pipe 475 right now, so
right.
So if you can figure that out,
that's probably better to count the pipes than it is to count the years. Anyway,
that's smart.
Yeah,
but you said that you started out this apprenticeship with John. But what about today? Is it just you, or do you have kind of a team assembled?
It is just me. I've tried getting a guy in here. Actually, a guy who used to work for me when I had my construction company going. Real good hands-on guy. But, I recently got a new shop. I've now got a 10 by 20 sitting in my side yard, which is quite an improvement from what I had before. But it's not big enough for two people. I tried getting him in here, and it didn't. I'm the kind of guy, I need my own space. I need to be able to have my own, It's like if I see someone sitting in my seat, I freak out. So eventually, I'll probably get some help. But for right now, it's just me. I'm doing all the, all the stuff online. I'm doing all the carving. I'm doing all the shipping. I'm doing all the, order taking and so on and so forth. So a lot, sometimes it's a lot to handle. But for right now, I'm really enjoying it because, the one part that I really love is working with people, talking to people, answering emails, phone calls, doing everything on Facebook, Instagram. So I really get to know the person I'm making the pipe for. For me, that's the most fun part of my job. Carving the pipe is just a plus, So I wouldn't change that now where, if I could get someone to help me with shipping and stuff, that would be great.
Totally understand,
local
brother.
Post office is getting a little sick of me coming in about 5 o'clock right before the post office closes with like 30, 40 boxes to ship out.
Dude, I can relate. When we shipped out the mugs, the Country Square Radio mugs, it's the same thing. The lady saw me come through with like, 30 boxes.
She had this look of abject horror on her face.
She's like, don't ever come in here at this hour again. Yeah.
Yeah. And I go to a little country post office right down a country road in Keswick, Virginia here, and it's just one person behind the thing, and they've got a big sign above that says, bulk orders please bring in before 2 o'clock, but she let me slip. The problems are whenever I have like five or six international orders to go out with all your customs forms and everything, they actually have to stay after. I didn't realize that they have to stay after and type all that stuff in after I leave. So, all my international stuff, I'm gonna start bringing in earlier for them.
That's a conscientious user of you. That's good. So I guess the Moonshine Pipe Company kind of came from your inspiration to be this, kind of channel yourself into this, the blue collar kind of working man's thing. Is that kind of where that comes from, or do you have a love and fascination with moonshine, or how did that develop?
It actually, it's got two meanings. Moonshine has two meanings. The first one that people don't realize is when I first started making pipes, I was still running the construction company, trying to. I wasn't able to do a lot of the work anymore just because, you know, carrying 2x4s, all that stuff. We built decks, we did built-ins and all that kind of stuff. So at that point, after my accident, I really had to kind of hire out people. So 9 times out of 10, I was making my pipes either on weekends or at night. I'd get home from work about 5 o'clock, pick up my son, do dinner and all that good stuff. And then after that, it was like once the son went to bed, that was like my time. Okay. So I'd go out to my little 8x10 up there and,
the moonshine came
out. I'd work under the moonlight.
Oh, okay.
So I guess, that's part of the thing. The other, yes, you're right about the other one.
There it is.
That's great.
Yeah.
Share of, we can call it distilled water for the show.
That's right.
Yeah, we can call it that.
That's exactly right. Before noon, it's distilled water.
Yeah.
I definitely tinker with a lot of that. And that's a fun thing too, is, because my name, it's actually kind of cool because I, need a moonshine pipe company. I've gotten a lot of, there's a huge there's a bunch of guys who are doing a hobby distilling these days, whiskey, moonshine, all that kind of stuff. And when I started Moonshine Pipe Company, really named it Moonshine, it's funny. I've got a lot of guys who never smoked pipes before who either make moonshine or, do hobby distilling that say, hey, I want to smoke a pipe, moonshine pipes,
Yeah. So,
I've actually, it's funny, Devil Ants, Hatfield, the one that the pipe is, named after.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny cause, I've had one of his, I guess, distant relative. Well, anyway, his last name was still Hatfield, and that was his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather or so. He found me on a moonshine site. He's like, oh, there's a pipe named after my great-great-grandfather. I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, that's cool. So I made him one free of charge just because. That's how the name came about.
I'm kind of envisioning a marketing campaign for you where you get the old Dukes of Hazzard to get pulled over by the cops. They're in the General Lee and they bust open the trunk and it's a bunch of your pipes in the back. That would make me very happy.
I might have to steal that one from you. That's a good one.
Yeah, dude, make it happen. Dukes of Hazzard. I bet you those guys. I'm blanking on the actors, both actors' name, but I bet at least one, if not two of them, smoke pipes. You should check that out. So I got to ask you about this. On your website, you actually have a quote from C.S. Lewis, who's, of course, one of our favorite pipe-smoking heroes. He says, a pipe gives a wise man time to think and a fool something to stick in his mouth. And if you've been listening to this show for a while, we've referenced that quote before. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of curious, on your home-based website, why Lewis and why that quote?
All right. You guys are going to hate me. You're going to hate me.
No, we're not.
It's doubtful.
All right. I really wanted a quote that was going to stick. I really wanted something that that I felt, on my main page there, I really wanted something that would make people think. I definitely wanted to put a quote. I'm a quote fiend. I read quotes every day. Here's the thing. I don't read. I haven't read actually any of his books.
Oh, we do hate you a little bit.
Nah, just kidding.
Yes, yeah, it's so.
I'm just kidding.
I found that quote. I don't know. I just sounded right to me.
So basically, what you're saying is kind of the quote came before Lewis for you, since you hadn't really read any of Lewis's works. You found that quote, and you're like, this is the one.
Yeah, that's the one. It fits kind of the theme, yeah, and kind of the feel of everything.
It does. It does. I don't think I'd have to read a lot of his books to know that him and I would probably be buddies, just by reading that quote. But for me, it just makes a lot of sense. It's how I feel. The whole thing about pipe smoking for me is relaxation, is having fun. It's a hobby. It's why would you do it unless it's beneficial to you in some way?
Absolutely. So, I completely understand. Yeah. And we've had so many wives come in our shop before at the Country Squire and buy, buy pipes for their husbands because it's the adult pacifier. So, you know, I think it kind of goes along. Well,
absolutely.
With that. Right. it gives.
Absolutely. And that's another thing about that I really hope people see in the way I do business and in the way I try to promote Moonshine Pipe Company is that, you know, we're all doing this because we love it. You know, it's a hobby. Hobbies are supposed to be fun. They're supposed to be something that you do to take the edge off. To
That's
make
exactly
yourself,
right.
You know, after a long day. Why confuse it and why turn it into a bunch of, you know, anything more than what it really truly is? I mean, I think a lot of people these days are, no matter what it is, you know, you can, you know, take something and make it so utterly, you know, where it's only a shell of what it was, you know. Pipe smoking, I hope people can see that it's supposed to be fun. Why take it any further than a bunch of guys, a bunch of girls, you know. A lot of girls are smoking pipes these days.
Oh yeah,
very
true. Absolutely.
That brotherhood.
Well, you're right on. So let's transition. Let's talk a little bit about your pipes.
Dude, I'm excited. Yeah, because I mean your work, I mean, is outstanding, by the way. And it's really great. I mean, what's so cool is that you could take a lot of these pipes and charge much more for them if you wanted to. But that's kind of your whole thing. You want to make a very high quality piece, use the best materials, and what you say on your website, you know, charge a very fair price for something. Now, people are going to have to wait because, you know, these are all, you know, made.
That's what artisan means.
Made
yeah.
order,
artisan
right.
means you're going to have to wait like a year and a half.
But that's the point. You know, it means that, you know, you're.
Amen, brother.
Line them up. Get in the queue.
No, I've had issues. I've had issues with that lately, and I'll say it out loud here. I don't really care. you know, we all live in a society these days where, you know, especially the American way is, you know, I want this and I want it now.
Instant gratification.
You know, and exactly. And you know, I'm only 33, but it's getting worse with the younger generations. They all think that, you know. Not everything is cranked out in a factory in China, and a lot of people can't really understand that anymore. Just why the whole handmade artisan thing coming back, I think is great for society as a whole, because it puts you know, it lets people see, hey, if you take your time and you put passion in your work, this is the final outcome. Things are designed to break these days. I mean, you know, and that's what I want people to realize, that yeah, my waiting list is usually pretty long, but the final result, once I put my passion and my time into it, is going to be something. And this is not just me, it's with any artisan or anything that's handmade. The final result will be far better, and it will mean a lot more to you than something you buy off a shelf.
Yeah,
it was cranked out by, you know, some factory workers. So.
Yeah, that even as a retailer.
Go ahead. I had to stop you there and address that.
No, that's good.
That's great. I mean, even as a retailer, that inspires me, because it's so tempting to give yourself over to the kind of the business side and the minutia of, okay, how do you structurally grow something, and, you know, strategic planning and all this stuff. And what it has to come back to every morning when I go to work is, man, I love blending pipe tobacco, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I totally understand.
So I was looking through your pipes, and one of the things that really stood out to me are these green pipes that I see, you know, throughout your website and everything else. And so walk us through the process. How do you get that particular look in your pipe? Because it's very, I think that's probably one of the first times, you know, obviously I don't have your experience, JD, but it's one of the first times I've seen that kind of green shade of pipe.
I try to do it a little bit different than the Peterson green, because, as you know, like a lot of the St. Patty's Day and so on and so forth, they've got that real kind of dark, almost ivy green. What I wanted to do when I started playing around with the green is kind of make it translucent, because there's definitely qualities. If you really study color, which I haven't, but if you really play around with color, you can see that when you make something translucent, it kind of makes it almost neon. There's one on Instagram I posted a while back that people thought I dyed it with like a neon Sharpie or something. But
yeah.
what I do, the process I do is I usually hit all my pipes with black. I just completely cover them in black, and then I actually polish all the black off, and that lets the green, that kind of gives it a contrast. Not only does it absolutely take all the scratches out to where I can see every single scratch on the pipe, But it also gives it some slightly a contrast. And then with the green, because you've already polished the pipe, it's the green is not going to soak in as much as, say, you know, on a rough pipe that's only sanded to 600. So that green only barely kind of soaks in, just enough to kind of give it a translucent green color. Once you throw, your white diamond and you wax it and you throw your carnauba on it, that green really kind of pops. And, I'm happy with those. You can always tell when I've been making green pipes because my hands are completely green. Right around St. Patrick's Day, a couple weeks before St. Patrick's Day and leading up to it, my hands were always green. I'd go pick my son up from school, and the teachers would all look at me funny. green dial over my hand. That's always the hardest thing to explain to them. Like, oh, well, what do you do for a living? Oh, well, I make pipes. Oh, you make pipes. No, like real tobacco pipes. So like, oh, but you're using green? I'm like, yeah.
Just
like,
tell them you're distilling. Okay. Just tell them you're brewing green beer. I mean, I think that kind of goes better with the old. Or you just hold hands with Kermit the Frog a lot. That's really all it is. Yeah. So I mean, and your green is so distinct and particular. We wanted to hit that, but I mean, what is your overall kind of influence on these pipes? I mean, because you have such a they vary greatly. You know, you've got some that look like kind of old school British pipes, and then you've got some that are obviously Danish inspired. Do you kind of jump all over the map, or are you inspired by a certain individual or a certain school of thought on that?
Well, I've always loved classics. There's so many people are making the abstract stuff these days, you know, the eggs and the blowfishes and all that stuff. Nothing against those. I think they're all beautiful. But I've really focused on classic shapes is what I really like making, or my own kind of – I try to do classics but with a little bit of a twist. Definitely like Levon Urk is a good what he does is he takes his classic shapes and he kind of puts a little bit of twist on them. Another person, Mark Balkovec, I love his work. He does classics, but he also does kind of – he tweaks them a little bit. There's just so many I could name far as my inspiration go, but I really like the classic. Like, there's nothing better than a well-shaped billiard or a Dublin, Lovat, and those are the shapes that I really find attractive. Those are what I like to go after.
You are a man after my own heart, dude. I love a classic shape. Just give me a standard billiard that's done really, really well with maybe a really cool stem or a, you know, some kind of band or a sandblast that's really unique. And man, I'm a sucker for it. I really am.
Yeah. I mean, I've never played with bamboo. I've never done any of that. And personally, you know, nothing against the guys who do at all. I mean, like I said, I mean, it's just not my style, and it's not what I want to smoke, you know. I only just got into sandblasting actually recently. Until I really, it became desirable to me to actually start blasting pipes. Mm-hmm. Now I really appreciate it. Before I never understood why anybody would want to cover up, you know, beautiful grain, but now I really understand, you know, the whole thing about ring grain, and that's another thing I've been. You know, there's certain things you figure out as an artist as you go. Like this Tony Warner I have in my hands right now. And
yeah.
The ring grain on this thing is fantastic.
It's exquisite. Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see a lot more people come out in the future that really stick to the classics. Because there's so many guys making, you know, all this, you know, abstract stuff. Like I said, nothing against the guys again. So if I keep saying that, there's going to be something blown up on a forum. Oh, he doesn't like it. But anyway, yeah, the classics do it for me. A well-made is the direction I really want to go and keep going.
So let me ask you this though, because I mean, I know that with kind of the artisan route and with kind of, you know, being kind of more of a smaller shop, like you've got, you know, you I would imagine get commissions from time to time. I'm kind of curious to know what has been kind of one of the more interesting commissions that you've had.
Yeah. All I do right now actually is commissions. I rarely ever have anything available lately just because, my commissions list is, that's why the wait takes a while. But yeah, it's mostly all commissions right now. But the coolest commission I've done to this date, man, what the one in particular, I actually made a Cavalier for a guy out in Colorado. He's actually listening this morning. What's up, Colin? Colin Novak from Fort Collins, Colorado.
Colin from Fort Collins. I like that.
I made him a Cavalier. I had a Cumberland. It was Cumberland, and I used a massive. Steve Norris sold me a bunch from Vermont Freehand. He sold me a bunch of these massive Algerian jumbo Ebuchons. And one of them was perfect. It was, you know, this massive hunk of briar. And I made him this really cool Cavalier out of it. Kind of like a cutty-shaped bolt, kind of canted off the side. And I did a Cumberland cap at the bottom and then a black ebonite with a Cumberland ring up top. And it really turned out cool. It was totally out of my, you know, comfort zone. But, you know, I started looking at a lot of old classic Cavaliers, and that's kind of how I wanted to make mine. And I just kind of tweaked it. And I was real happy with it. But my favorite commissions are the ones that I get where people say, hey, you know, here's some money, go wild, you know, do something cool. Because that's really where you learn to be the artist. You know, I get commissions all the time for pokers, devil dances, things like that. And those are fine. Those are great. But it's when somebody says, hey, you know, here's a general idea of where I want to go with this. You know, take it and roll with it. And that's my favorite.
Yeah.
Those are the days in the shop that I'm like, I'll jump a couple names on the commissions list just to get to one of those. You know?
that kind of gives you license to be the artist, which you love.
And
by the way, that Cavalier, I believe folks can see it either finished or at least in process on your Facebook page, which we'll get an address for that later.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get many pictures of that one, which I'm maybe Colin will
maybe he can supply you with some or email the show some. Yeah, look, tell us real quickly just kind of about some of the materials you use. I'm interested because I don't know if you initially used kind of preformed stems and have transitioned into hand cut stems, and I know you've looked at some of those different. Beautiful green Cumberland and things like that, but then also Morta and stuff as well. Kind of talk about, you know, the stuff you've done there and the different materials you use.
As with most pipe makers, I started off using, you know, your pre-molds and stuff. Honestly, for someone starting out who really just wants to kind of get, you know, figure things out as far as their shaping goes, I don't see anything wrong with using the pre-molds. I've kind of gotten out of it just because I find the time spent on a pre-mold stem, whereas you can just take rod stock, you know, honestly, you're not saving much time at all. But there are still a few styles that, you know, it's a lot easier. You know, if someone only has $100, you know, to spend on a pipe, I can't sit there for an hour and a half and hand cut a stem, you know.
So, yeah, absolutely. That makes
sense. But you know, as far as material goes, I usually try to buy. I always buy the better stuff. The Morta I've been getting into lately, kind of going with the moonshine theme. I've really been playing with Morta lately. I've got like a midnight. I'm gonna call it the Midnight Collection. I made this really cool Avat, maybe you could call it a Liverpool, but and it really got a lot of attention. And so I decided I'm gonna start. You're gonna see a lot more Bulldogs, the Dublins, things like that. Made out of Morta, but yeah, the hand cutting of the stems, I've been using a lot of Japanese Cumberland lately, which is really cool. I got some here, you know. I'm wild about the colors that they come in. You've got olive greens, you've got like kind of, you know, oranges, you've got, you know, I'm doing a commissioned pipe for a guy soon, and his tux he wore, this is a kind of like a, you know, after your fifth anniversary, you get something. The gift is supposed to be something made out of wood. So he decided to commission a pipe for me. His wife's dress was white and his tux was blue. And it turns out I've got some Japanese Cumberland that is like the perfect shade of blue to matches his tux.
Oh, right on.
So that's going to be really. And it's just, you know, there's a lot more variety as far as colors go and what you can do with a stem. Especially with this Japanese Cumberland stuff. I've been using a lot of boxwood lately, boxwood burl I've been getting. It turning it. And you actually can only really only find it in pen blanks. So I've been turning that stuff and making rings and stuff out of that. And then Delrin, obviously, all my tenons are Delrin.
That's good.
But yep. As far as, you know, my favorite material to work with lately, it's really been the Cumberland. If I'm going to sit and cut a stem, it's going to be made out of something really cool. And that's why I really like the Tony Warner pipe. I keep mentioning. I'm giving him a really good
shot.
Anyway, Tony Warner, this stem, and he uses some of the most wild rod stock. It's almost like a candy cane, if you can see it.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yep, that looks good.
Pretty cool.
So I'm curious, you know, have you made your schedule for this year? Are you going on any big pipe shows? Of course, you know, we always talk about the New Orleans Pipe Show on Country Squire Radio, but I know there's quite a few. Anything on your radar?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be in Columbus this year. I can't make Chicago just because I'm just too busy right now. There's no way to work it in. Plus, my wife, you know, is graduating nursing school. Congratulations.
Hey, congratulations.
Karen. Yeah,
congratulations.
That's great.
She's worked so hard. Yeah, so she's got her graduation and everything. We need to transition her into, you know, all that. But I'm probably going to do Nashville, the Nashville show. I'm probably going to do the Columbus show. And I'm really trying hard to get down to the New Orleans Pipe Show just because it's first year. And plus, I've you know, always wanted to go down to the bayou.
Man.
See what it's all about.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. New Orleans is where it's at.
Yeah.
It'll be fun, man.
Yeah. And it's cool. You can smoke. I guess you guys said you can smoke at the show or you know, somewhere near the show
you can actually they've assured us you can actually smoke on the show floor.
In the show floor.
That's
exactly right.
Yep. Yeah. So that's going to be awesome.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Well, I'll be there. I'll make it happen, guys. I'll
be there. That's great. And
I don't know how many pipes will have sale, but I'll be there.
You can have some really pretty pictures of the ones you have sold. We always like to ask right before, you know, we kind of end, particularly with any guests we have, but also pipe carvers, if you could have a pipe. And with any pipe smoker in history, you know, sit there and enjoy their company and talk about pipes maybe, but also just be with them and experience them. Who would that be and why?
Yeah, that's funny. My mother told me recently that, obviously my grandfather smoked a pipe, but he stopped smoking pipes, I think right around the time my mom was like 15 or 20. But anyway, my great grandfather, who I think I get a lot of my personality from and a lot of my, you know, hands-on, you know, carving, so on and so forth from. Well, he was a British carpenter. He was from, they were all from, they actually lived in London, actually. My grandmother actually grew up, they were all there during World War II and everything, slept in the bunkers, all that stuff. But he was a carpenter, real high-end carpenter, and I believe my mother still has a lot of his old tools. I haven't been able to go through them yet, but he was a pipe smoker, and just so many stories you hear about him. You know, someone who's related to you, and it's still kind of like a mystery. He's my great grandfather, but yeah, British, you know, good old fashioned British carpenter who smoked a pipe. God, I'd love to meet him. I mean, I think that would be awesome to sit and have a pipe with him and talk to him about, you know, that side of my family. Because really, it's kind of a big mystery just because of a lot of things that happened, World War II, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, just talk to him about, first off, you know, what was it like to have minimal tooling, you know, doing the kind of carpentry he did.
Yeah.
I mean, he had all these types of chisel, you know, all planers. A lot of times they were hand making their own tools back then. And for me, that's really interesting. So I would love to be able to go back in time with him. Nobody famous, just my great grandfather, and talk to him and say, hey, you know, tell me about how it was back then. And if we smoke a pipe, we smoke a pipe. That'd be awesome.
That's really meaningful.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, that's really great.
I think that might be the best answer we've gotten.
Yeah, no, normally it's like, oh, someone real famous that obviously we look up to.
It's the usual suspects. Man, Lewis and Tolkien,
Yeah, but I mean, this is that's a wonderful story.
Well, the most interesting man in the world, he smokes.
That is true. He does smoke a pipe. That is true.
Yeah.
Well, Jonathan, man, we really appreciate you taking the time this morning coming on the show. Where can our listeners find you? I know you're big on social media and everything, so list off all your locations.
Yeah, Moonshine Pipes, so www.moonshinepipes.com. I don't update the page as often as I should with pictures and stuff, but there's ways to contact me on there. And then Instagram is probably the best as far as, seeing my work, and that's at Moonshine Pipes. On Facebook, Jonathan Lavezzo, my name, or you can find me at Moonshine Pipe Company. It's Facebook/Moonshine Pipes, I think it is. Or just go ahead and Google Moonshine Pipes. I'm sure you'll find it somewhere.
Yeah, man, you're all over. It's a good thing. Well, of course, like I said, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely.
What a great interview.
Man, that was awesome. Yeah,
that was great, too.
Had a lot of fun with him. Our friend Beardcore, Rush, up in the Midwest, he did say that he needs Moonshine Pipes needs to keep growing that beard out.
So, yeah.
Anyway, a little inspiration for him there. But, man, we had such a great time linking up with him, and just can't wait to continue to follow his work.
Absolutely.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback this week, we got an iTunes review. This from Cowboy Colton. JD, what did Cowboy Colton say?
Yeah, this is on iTunes, and he says, "Great podcast, great guys. I have just recently gotten into the pipe smoking hobby, and being a regular podcast listener, I naturally search for a podcast to guide me in my new venture. Country Squire Radio, I could not only find guidance, but entertainment, encouragement, and inspiration. I was looking for pipe knowledge and found it in droves. And to have it disseminated along with Christian wisdom, whiskey musings, and Tolkien references was even better. John David and Bo are awesome. Keep up the great work." Cowboy Colton, thank you so much, brother. We appreciate you. Appreciate you hollering.
Absolutely. And if you'd like to send in some feedback as well, be sure to head over to iTunes, write us those reviews. They help out the show immensely.
Yeah.
And we love to read them on air. Of course, you can listen live, too. We do our live broadcast every single Tuesday morning around 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. That's 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. You can follow us on Twitter at Squire Radio. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole. And you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And of course, all this information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, man, that's, I love Country Squire Radio. Great way to start off the morning. Let's go have a day.
See you, brother. Have a good day.
All right, man.